Welcome back. And however you spent that time, I hope it was nourishing and of benefit. And as I mentioned, we'll just move right into the sit. So I invite each of us to allow the body to come into a posture that allows us to feel upright energetically. And some of you may have bodies that prefer to be lying down, and by which case, please do so. Take care of your body. But the energetics of alertness, of awakeness, of availability, to see what that's like, to invite those qualities into the body in whatever posture is supportive of that. Feeling a connection to the earth, perhaps through your feet, or whatever part of your body is resting upon the earth, a connection to the seat, cushion, chair, bed that you're resting upon, those points of contact, again, as a way of connecting into the earth element, just a way of saying, here, just be here. For the anchor today, I want us to stay in the body. And this might look like, for some, following the breath, the movement of the wind element in and out. Can be staying with sensation. Yeah. A little sensation, a little S sensation, or capital S. Sort of if we think of, in a way, like, if we're sitting behind a stage and sort of what sensation takes center stage. Some of us may be sitting with a headache, a toothache, a backache. Those sensations of pain tend to take center stage. Yeah. So in the mixed way of things, it can be almost a blessing. I don't say that lightly. When there is a strong physical sensation, because it can sharpen the mind. Oh yeah, I'm going to pay attention to this. The sensation could be hands holding each other, hands on the lap, hands on the legs. What's the weight, the texture of bones of the hand resting on the bones of the legs, bones of the hands holding each other. And each of these different invitations really are pointing to, can we drop into the body as a place of rest? And I say this with full awareness that many of us have had innumerable traumas, little t, capital T, traumas that particularly for women make the body always not such a comfortable place or not a refuge. So I don't say this lightly. Making space for that sense of, is there some place in the body that it is easy to rest in? Maybe the hands, the feet. So the larger invitation here is, can we find a way to be at home in this body of ours, just as it is, with the discomforts, the difficulties, the challenges, the aches, the homelessness that can be common or a default in our body. If we anchor our attention again to the movement of the breath, in and out, or we anchor our attention to the points of contact of our sit bones on the cushion, the different sensations that then come if we rest the attention there. Or resting the attention in how the hands hold each other, how the hands rest upon the legs. And I'm not suggesting we try all these things throughout the sit, but to pick one, as this is a way of kind of anchoring or directing the mind, here, rest here. Check this out. May there be an expansion of awareness into these sensations, again, of the breath, of the hands holding the hands. And we know the mind will do what it does, right? It'll tell stories, it'll have opinions and judgments, it'll try to figure something out, it'll recall something totally trivial from 10 years ago. Right, okay. This is what the mind does. It's okay. Sometimes a thought may be so seductive, we just kind of run along with it. And then at some point, oh, wait, can I come back? Feel into the sensation of a breath, feel into the sensation of my hands holding each other. That is a moment of waking up. It's to be cherished. Yeah, and celebrated. Yeah, right. Can I bring my attention back here? We know the mind wanders, and at some point we will wake up. Oh yeah, come back. And to celebrate that catch. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be paying attention to the breath. Okay, great. Please remember there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats. We see how it is to cultivate this relationship with ourselves, with this thread of invitation today to, can we play around in the field of being at home in the body, some part. This may be easy for some, this may be very difficult for others. And okay, that's how it is. Yeah, again, this generosity of curiosity. Oh, it's like this. Okay. And I so appreciate this opportunity we have to sit together. So thank you. Thank you for ringing the bell, Carlita. And I hope, however this shit was, I'm just glad that we're all here together. And today I want to explore, this might not be surprising given how I've been talking thus far today, of these notions of home and belonging. And I'm going to open with a David Wyatt poem that I've shared before, so bear with me. And I think I'm going to read the whole thing, which is his poem, The House of Belonging. I awoke this morning in the gold light, turning this way and that, thinking for a moment, it was one day like any other. But the veil had gone from my darkened heart, and I thought it must have been the quiet candlelight that filled my room. It must have been the first easy rhythm with which I breathed myself to sleep. It must have been the prayer I said, speaking to the otherness of the night. And I thought, this is a good day. You could meet your love. This is the gray day someone close to you could die. This is the day you realize how easily the thread is broken between the world, this world and the next. And I found myself sitting up in a quiet pathway of light, the tawny, close-grained cedar burning round me like fire. And all the angels of this housely heaven ascending through the first roof of light the sun has made. This is the bright home in which I live. This is where I ask my friends to come. This is where I want to love all the things it has taken me so long to learn to love. This is the temple of my adult aloneness, and I belong to that aloneness as I belong to my life. There is no house like the house of belonging. So I want to have that image kind of linger and compare it with another poem that I'm sure many of you know, Rumi's Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So these ideas, these images of Rumi and David Wyatt of home and belonging and this home of ours, this fathom long form, our literal physical home that we live in, and our home in the world. And these different ways that we relate, shift and move over time, the way we can feel a sense of belonging to a physical space. Some of us have had that frequently in their lives, other of us have not. And what do we do with these different ways of belonging? And a sense of the importance of both belonging to ourselves, knowing the line from, I forget whom, none of us are an island. We're all so interconnected with each other. Thich Nhat Hanh's phrase of interbeing, we dwell in this interbeing place of our need to connect with others. So how do we connect with ourselves, with others, with the natural world, with our sense of place, and these different layers, the place within our own bones? Can we reside here? And for many of us, it's like, yeah, mostly, maybe not. Those of us with a whatever level of trauma history, the dissociation can be, have been a habit of dissociating. It can be a really wise way of surviving when we're young, when we can't move out of our situation, but we can dissociate, so we leave. And this way in which that pattern of leaving becomes something we do, a set pattern. Sometimes we're not even aware of it. And a way of working with, as we've spoken before, we can clear away these different hindrances of the heart, hindrances of the mind that cloud our own Buddha nature. Part of that's the skillfulness when we're young of dissociating, it can keep us safe. We kind of tuck ourselves away in some other part of ourselves, but that part can get exiled. Yeah. the part that like, yeah, I don't want to go near that young part that was so traumatized, or I just don't even know how I would connect with that part. And bringing in Rumi's poem of, well, we welcome and entertain them all. How do we kind of open, please come? How do we and allow ourselves to have that sense of open welcome to the parts that we are not familiar with, that had to be exiled in order for us to kind of survive whatever we needed to survive, that may be present to today in our current time. And this complicated way in which we move in the world of sort of being present, these teachings are all about being more present. And there's a part that's like, sometimes it's too hard, right? In the ways we want to distract or numb out or move somewhere else energetically, or have the mind be somewhere other than the present, because the presence is so hard. And how do we soften into, yeah, it's hard, right? Just to make a very obvious statement, it's just really hard to be human. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And the way in which we kind of move at a disadvantage when we're not connected to all the different parts of us, and the ways in which, again, often in the class, like, all parts of you are welcome. And yes, that's so true. And it's tricky sometimes. Like, we don't always know what we don't know, and how to extend, again, open the door wide enough to be able to welcome the parts of us that we might not really like, or might not really want to know. Either the part that's just going to be so angry, or the parts that's just so hurt. It's just like, oh my God, I can't go there. And understanding there's a wisdom there. It's sometimes like too much and not going to go there by myself. You know, the line I so often quote from Annie Lamont is her line of, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try not to go there alone. And I'm guessing many of us have had that experience. Like, I don't want to be in this, like in the way this mind is, or the way the body is when there's a lot of pain. It's like, can I please be somewhere else? You know, when sometimes there's a real skillfulness of moving, like too much overwhelm, the body is so dysregulated that the first step has to be kind of finding a way to regulate and coming back. And sometimes the work in order to step into a full integration of these different parts of ourselves is too much to do on our own. So we get help. We have guides that can help us do that. The meditation is such a powerful tool. And there are times when we need more. We can't always do all the work on the cushion, that we need to understand the terrain of what we're working with and what we are capable of, without tipping into that place of overwhelm. Right? There's sort of a skillfulness of staying with. And it's like, okay, this is enough. And sometimes we can move ourselves, the titrating out of a challenging place through working with the elements, which is why I love that practice, through the awareness of what the mind is doing. Is this thinking pattern that I'm in, is it leading me to ease? Is it totally stressing me out? Can I make choices? Can I make that lateral movement? And sometimes we can, and sometimes like, no, I need help. Right? And so what's in our toolkit of leaning into help? And sometimes it's the presence of another human or an animal or being out in nature or whatever. There are all kinds of different ways, music, poetry, but the awareness of, oh, how do, can I stay, have that, again, that sense of the open door to welcome parts in with enough of a foundation beneath us to say, it's okay here. It's okay here enough, right? I spoke a couple of weeks ago of faith and the beautiful Pali word of sadha, faith in our capacity to meet what's here. But sometimes that takes some help, right? We're not always like, oh, I have the capacity to meet this. Like, I'm learning. And we develop the skills such that we can. So allowing there to be a pacing of what's possible in this moment we come up to and like, okay, I'm going to stop here. And either reach out for times of reflection, sitting practice to really understand what's happening in the mind, what's happening in the body. How can I invite in and welcome myself home? And what do I need to be able to allow that to happen? And what gets in the way? Yeah. is from Parker Palmer, Welcome Home. Alone in the alien snow-blown woods, moving hard to stay warm in zero weather, I stop on a rise to catch my breath as the setting sun, streaming through bare-bone trees, falls upon my face, fierce and full of life. Breathing easier now, in and out with the earth, I suddenly feel accepted, feel myself stand easy, strong, deep-rooted as the trees, while time and all those troubles disappear. And when, who knows how long, I trudge on down the trail and find my ancient burdens returning. I step once more to say no to them, not here, not now, not ever again, reclaiming the welcome home the woods have given me. And this beautiful imagery of stopping, you know, looking around, where can we catch our breath? And we might not need to be on a frosty mountaintop where Parker Palmer was, I think in New England, but it can be wherever. But the intentionality of pausing, wait, what's possible? What can I open myself up to? You know, I stop on a rise to catch my breath as in the setting sun falls upon my face, fierce and full of life. He's pointing to it that if we are available, if the pause and intentionality is there, it might not take that much to reclaim, oh, right, I'm a part of this world that is around me. By locating myself as connected, again, Thich Nhat Hanh's, the interbeingness of my existence with yours, with the natural world, you can ease the burdens, the ancient burdens, and say no when they do come back. They come back out of habit so often. Right? And again, through this practice, as we do, like sitting and watching, feeling the sensations in the body, watching the mind to watch, oh, there's that habit returning. That habit, the weight of those burdens returning, that can keep us exiled from our own goodness, of really knowing ourselves and the goodness of our own heart. This is from Rosemary Wotola Tromer, Safety Net. This morning I woke thinking of all the people I love and all the people they love and how big the net of lovers. It felt so clear, all those invisible ties interwoven like silken threads, strong enough to make a mesh that for thousands of years have been woven and rewoven to catch us all. Sometimes we go on as if we forget about it, believing only in the fall. But the net is just as real. Every day, with every small kindness, with every generous act, we strengthen it. Notice even now how, as the whole world seems to be falling, it's there for us as we walk the day's tightrope. How every tie matters. And this beautiful image, again, of the safety net that's always there. If we think about the people we love, the people they love, this group of, how many are we? It's almost 30 of us. The people, all the people that we love, all the people that they love. That's a lot of people. Right? And allowing that kind of exponentially to grow and then feeling ourselves, oh yeah, it's a part of this web, a part of this net that we can forget about when the mind's habits can be, we don't belong, we're not apart, we're alone. Can we remember this image of the net? Can we start to really pay attention to where do those thoughts of not belonging and aloneness come in? And I say this to not brush aside the struggles we may have with loneliness when we really don't have enough of human connections in our lives. And Dave White has this sweet writing about the loneliness when we let ourselves feel it. It's a call for connection. It is to be heeded, right? There's a beauty in it of like wanting to feel more into that place of interconnection, of interbeing, to feel a part of the safety net. And sometimes it requires steps of finding the people that we can relate to, the reality of that. I'm not wanting to diminish it. And also the way the mind can, it's almost like a trick of the mind. And when we can allow ourselves to stop lean into this idea of the house of belonging. There is no house like the house of belonging. Can we allow this fathom-long form of ours to be one of the first homes of belonging, right? That then belongs to all the other ones. Yeah, that there's a connection of the neighborhoods. But again, in order to feel truly at home in the body, we need to be able to reclaim any parts that we've exiled or that we don't really like, or the angry parts, the parts that are just unruly, that sense of within each of us is an inner committee, and our committee members, much like when we've sat on other committees, there might be people they're just challenging, right? The difficult people. So sort of looking at who are the difficult people on our own inner committee and what are they needing? Because chances are there's a need to be heard, to be recognized, to be welcomed home, right? Because in some sense, isn't that what we're all wanting in a way? Yeah. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit and do a guided meditation. I think I've done this once before, but it's been a while. So we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and allow yourself to bring as much ease into the body, to feel comfortable in as much as possible. If you need to move or stretch or shift, please do so. And I'm going to ask that in your mind's eye, and you can modify this. If something that lands is like, that doesn't work for me, then just feel free to modify it. But to imagine that we're going to do this all together, but that you're on your own. You're coming on, sort of just about to walk out of a path through the woods. And you're a little bit still in the woods, but you can see there's this gorgeous meadow that's calling to you. And this meadow is full of wildflowers. And as you move from this dirt single track through the woods and feel the cool shadiness of the trees, and you walk through the up to the edge of this copse of trees into this gorgeous meadow of wildflowers, that this path that you're on weaves its way through. You can feel the full weight of the sun. It's not too hot, but the sun feels so beautiful on your face after being in the coolness of the forest. These gorgeous wildflowers. And you walk along through this meadow, like birds singing, a cool breeze perhaps. It feels good on your face in response to the heat of the sun. And you come up upon a riverbank, and the lip of the meadow gradually drops down to the bank of the river, and you step down into this beach on the river, and there's this beautiful red canoe with a paddle. You gently step into the canoe, take the paddle in your hands, and push off the sandy beach into the river. And the current of the river is perfect. It knows just what to do to take you in this red kayak downstream. And it's a beautiful, calm river. It's winding its way through a beautiful canyon. That's why the sort of the meadow of the wildflowers on either side of the riverbanks. You can see light water rippling in the river, but it's calm, you're safe. Again, you feel the sun on your face. Perhaps you see an eagle fly by, or different hawks, birds of prey in the sky. It's beautiful. The river takes a bend to the right, and you look up, and on the riverbank, back a little bit, is this beautiful little cabin. And as it so happens, the canoe goes just right where to go and pulls up to this little beach. And you step out and pull the canoe up out of the water easily. Does that. Step into this field where there's a path that leads right to this cabin. And to allow the details of the cabin to come to mind as you approach along the path, take in the 3 or 4 steps up to the porch, feeling your weight on the steps, the creak of the woods, the wood of the steps and the porch, and the door opens. And the person who opens the door is someone you love, someone you are so happy to see. Maybe someone you know dearly, someone you haven't seen forever, someone from the other side who's come to welcome you home to this place you know is your own. It's so familiar to you. The person who pulls you in to hug is so dear to you. Allowing yourself to take in the embrace of this beloved. Maybe an animal or two that comes to greet you also. And this person brings you into the house. It smells so good. It may smell like cookies or bread. And again, there's such a familiarity of this cabin. You've known it all your life. As you've known this person, again, who may be a human you know or more of a spirit guide. One person brings you in to the main room. It's got fire. It's a beautiful stone fireplace. She reaches into the desk to the left of the fireplace, pulls out an envelope that has your name on it. This beautiful calligraphy. The being hands you this envelope, this beautiful smile, love in their eyes. You feel the weight of this envelope, the thickness of the stationery. As you open the envelope in this folded piece of paper, you pull out, you unfold the paper, and there's this note written for you. It may be a word, it may be a number of words that's just what you need to hear about how it is to be at home. How to feel a sense of homecoming more deeply in your bones. The sense of belonging and contentment. And the words might be hard to see at first, so you hold them up to the light, either to the light of the fire or to the light of the window to your right. Oh yeah, there, you can make out these words. You read them, you tuck the note into your pocket and turn to the being who greeted you. Take in this gaze of love and belonging and connection, of truly being seen, accepted, welcomed. This being pulls you close. One more time, whispers in your ear a few words, just what you need to hear. Embraces you one more time. Walks with you back to the door. You can feel the weight of the note in your pocket, hearing the words the being offered. Again, taking in the embrace, the warmth, the welcome, the love. You say goodbye, knowing you can come back anytime. This place will always be here, this home. this being, again, animals that may be there. You feel a sense of warmth and fullness as you walk back down the stairs, hear the creak in the steps, back down the path. Step down off the riverbank, back into the canoe. Pick up the paddle, push off. And as it happens in these magical realms, the current has changed directions and can take you back. Back along that bend in the river. As you take in the blue sky above, the birds that may fly overhead, the light breeze on your face, the sound of the water lapping against the canoe, sound of the breeze in the trees. The canoe finds its way back to that original beach, pulls up with a jolt, slight jolt, against the muddy banks. You step out, pull the kayak up a bit, walk back up into that first meadow of gorgeous wildflowers. Walking back into the woods. And when you feel the coolness of the woods, allow yourself to just exhale. And touching, if it's helpful, that note in a pocket. Remembering the cabin and that being and that sense of homecoming is always available anytime. And you feel yourself come back into this time, sitting in the chair, the cushion, wherever you are, feeling your feet on the floor. Take a long exhale, allowing yourself to come back into the body here. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Just slowly. Yeah, stretch. And then I'm going to stop here and just thank you for coming with me on that journey, if it worked. And then would love to open it up for comments or thoughts, how that exercise was. For some people, it might have worked. For others, maybe not. So please, I welcome your thoughts. And feel free to, when you do share, if you just stay with your own experience and refrain from talking about what other people say, because sometimes we might not really get exactly what that person's saying. And it's my hope that this feels like a brave a space as possible for people to share. And if you raise your hand, Carlita and myself will call on you, and just look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.